Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast once again of the top-tier research and health news every single day. Completely changed that intro on you, didn't I? Hope you guys had a fantastic day today. The Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. And we have Ted Tye back in today, as per usual, from his undisclosed location somewhere in the world. Where is he on the world? I don't know. Possibly. You know, they've been saying they're trying to get, you know, all this different stuff on Mars and Moon and all these other places, allegedly. And what's interesting about it is we can't even manage what we're doing down here on Earth half the time. You know, but it's kind of funny to me as far as all this crazy stuff that we're starting to find out more and more. And so, again, guys, focus on the things you can. There's so many news stories. There's so much stuff out there on the time that's constantly designed to keep you distracted on a regular basis. That's why we try to bring you guys health research every single day. I had a couple new articles today that I've gotten posted on the site. One of them here says why stomach acid and digestive enzymes are essential for nutrient absorption. That's a really good article I'm going to tie into later and also go into detail on what's going on with a lot of the forever chemicals as far as the plastics that are causing issues with young kids and a whole host of other health topics that are going on today, including the new product of the week that's going to be changing later on. And so hope you guys are ready for a good show today. More health research and world news on a regular basis. And are you with me today, Father? Are you doing good?
I'm always with you, Austin. I may not be in the same country with you right now, but then I might be on Mars, if you want to believe all the stuff about the galaxy.
Good Wi-Fi up there.
If you want to believe the precession of the equinox and the things that never change, though we're being dragged by our sun like a comet at a million miles an hour, and nothing ever changes in the heavenlies. If you want to believe all that crazy stuff, yeah, okay, go ahead and believe it. It's up to you. So, yeah, I'm with you, as always. But, no, I was going to say something real quick. You were talking about proton pump inhibitors a second ago. Now, you don't realize that you said proton pump inhibitors, but you did when you're talking about stomach acid.
Yep.
And so many people are put on proton pump inhibitors because they have acid reflux. And acid reflux is real. It's a real problem, and when it happens to you, you know what happened. And the reason that it happens is that you have an esophagus that goes down when you swallow food. It goes down through your stomach, through your esophagus. And right on top of your stomach, you have what's called an esophageal sphincter. When that sphincter closes off, when the acid concentration gets high enough in the stomach, and it prevents you from having esophageal erosion, prevents you from having, you know, regurgitation, prevents you from having acid heartburn, etc. And if the acid's not high enough, it doesn't close because the body's saying, well, it's not ready to digest food. Yes, we're not going to close it. The proton pump inhibitors prevent the formation of the acid and the gastric enzymes and everything that you need in order to digest your food. So what ends up happening is you have a situation where the food is never digested properly, the nutrient absorption never takes place, but you don't have to deal with, you know, acid reflux. The biggest way you can fix all that is use our digestive enzymes and basically go that route. And you take digestive enzymes with every meal. If you don't like to take pills, you can also use mustard. Now, a lot of people say, well, I don't like mustard. Okay, well, whatever. I'm just trying to tell you how to fix it. You can put mustard on your chicken, put mustard on your fish. What it'll do, a mustard has vinegar in it, and the vinegar will really help if you have a problem with digesting food as far as closing that esophageal sphincter to prevent gastric reflux. So if you don't want to do the vinegar with the mustard, you can go ahead and do apple cider vinegar by itself. But be really careful with that because you can also erode the enamel on your teeth. So that's why I like the mustard a lot better. I know last night I had quite a bit of beef for dinner last night, and I made sure I had the people in the restaurant bring me some mustard. And I said, I need a bunch of mustard. And it had no problem whatsoever with acid reflux last night because I used the mustard with the beef. So just that's a little hack that you can use for it. But I know people, Austin, who have been put on proton pump inhibitors for decades. I mean decades. And they have all kinds of health problems, and they've had health problems for decades. It's amazing to me that some of them are still alive as long as they have been alive. But, again, it's part of the medical industrial complex to keep you as sick as they possibly can, and that way they can continue to extract money out of you. That's the guys who breathe free air. They really love doing that to everybody because they make you part of the problem as far as being sick. And when that happens, they have to treat you with different types of drugs and et cetera and treatment protocols. They increase their revenue stream and makes more money for them.
That's exactly right. You're basically into the useful system that generates them more revenue. You know, proton pump inhibitors, if anybody's done any significant research on them, we've talked about this in detail, is that they were never designed and tested for clinical trials to be used long term. They were designed to be used for 2 to 4 weeks max when they were doing clinical studies to basically help out with esophageal erosion or basically ulcers. That's what they were designed for. So they're designed to reduce the stomach acid, allow the stomach to heal up, and then basically come off of them. And what happened is the doctors found, oh, this is a really easy fix short term for acid reflux because you go on them, you bite them, produce stomach acid, but then you don't digest your food. And so it's this catch 22. And the problem is I've known a lot of people that have gotten stuck on them and hooked on them, not in a way like, oh, I want to take them. But what happens is after you're on them long enough, you have to actually try to taper down off them, because if you stop taking them, the body will have this rebound effect. It'll start producing enormous amounts of stomach acid once you cease taking them abruptly, and then you start having a horrible acid reflux without even eating sometimes. Your stomach's just constantly having issues, and then you start having all types of issues with diarrhea and stomach problems and cramping. And so they're really, really, really bad to go on. I can't reiterate that anymore. Only use them if you need them for a specific useful purpose for a limited time. The digestive enzymes are a much better option to help out with that, because it's giving your body the actual nutrients to digest your food, not just covering up the problem. And then on top of that, reducing the amount of digestion that you're going to have. So yes, great topic on that. I'm glad you brought up the proton pump inhibitors. And that's what goes on here in this article, talking about why the digestive enzymes are so essential. So be sure, these articles and many others are what we put up at healthmasters.com for you guys every single day to stay updated on them. You can click on the health article topic at the top and go into detail. There's another one here I'm going to go into detail probably later on or tomorrow about new human trials review. Reveals magnesium directly controls vitamin D activation and gut microbe physiology. Really interesting study on with that one. And so be sure to check those out. Also, too, check out the podcast, thebrewershow.com. We're on all the different platforms on there. Shopify. We're on Shopify. That's our main platform basis. But you've got Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Gab, Spotify, Rumble, and a whole host of other platforms we're on. Or you can just watch it direct on thebrewershow.com. So check that out every single day at Browershow and healthmasters.com. And we're bringing you guys the latest news every single day. And other than that, what's your first topic you want to get into this morning, my friend, before I get into some health stuff?
Well, you know, David Icke, who I don't agree with on a lot of stuff, but I do agree with on a lot of other stuff. He's not a Christian, and so he kind of tries to take everything from a real secular standpoint. And of course, he was involved with the Church of England, and so he really has some bad ideas as far as what the church is supposed to be and what Christianity is. But he wrote a book about 20 years ago, and it was called The Trigger. And it was about 9/11 and how 9/11 was the trigger that set up the mass surveillance state, which brought this stuff to possibility of what we're having right now with everybody being monitored on an ongoing basis. And John Poindexter, the former national security advisor who had directed DARPA's Information Awareness Office and conceived the Total Information Awareness Initiative, the explicit progenitor of mass surveillance, met with Peter Thiel, and Palantir co-founder Alex Karp in 2004, according to Wired magazine. Poindexter proposed applying data mining methodologies originally developed for financial fraud detection to counterterrorism operations after 9/11 to basically, through the Patriot Act and the FISA Accords, which had sweeping legislation authority signed into law by President Bush. They had invested the intelligence community with historically unprecedented powers of information collection, and if you see Snowden talking about this, but the FISA breakthrough was not legislative, it was psychological. Americans would not have a countenance of a government program that harvested their data. They would, however, surrender their identical data voluntarily, copiously, and compulsively to a free application that permitted them to share photographs of their lunch and quarrel with distant relatives about politics. 2 days later, CIA officials would acknowledge, with the understood candor characteristic of people who have already won, that platforms like Facebook, LinkedIn, and Spotify have become the single most productive source of intelligence, Austin, on the American civilian population. The inspiring narrative of Mark Zuckerberg, who was underwritten by Peter Thiel, was never what it appeared. Virtually every dominant social media platform of that era received early capital from investors with profound documented connections. Connections to DARPA and the intelligence establishment. MySpace lacked that patronage, so it perished. Facebook had it. It conquered. The pattern replicated itself across the entire topology of digital life. Reid Hoffman, LinkedIn's founder, another filament and this Webb hosted a dinner in Palo Alto that seated Epstein, here you go, at the same table as Musk, Zuckerberg, and Thiel, each of them who subsequently became an evangelist for cryptocurrency, because once the information architecture is operational, the logical subsequent maneuver is to emancipate the financial system for the government oversight entirely via the Rothschild banking cartel. That's how it works. Deleveraging finance from the state would enable the technocratic class to consolidate one form of power that remained partially beyond its grasp. Bitcoin and its progeny were not speculative curiosities. They were instruments for constructing a parallel monetary structure, allowing the Rothschild banking cartel to seize the entire thing via cryptocurrency around the world. The vision was architecturally coherent, commanded the data, dominate the analytics, fabricate the internal and financial rails, and eventually render the nation state superfluous. In other words, we're all become a one world order. You do not overthrow the government. You make the government irrelevant. Then Snowden intervened in 2013. Snowden, a man who once might have condemned, but whom history might ultimately vindicate, disclosed the existence of PRISM, a national surveillance program originating from software appropriated by the government during the Clinton administration. PRISM possessed the capacity to aggregate informational profiles on the entirety of the American population and to harvest intelligence from overseas communications with equal facility. Snowden was a whistleblower. In the most consequential sense of the term, he demonstrated with documented proof that the CIA and the NSA possessed the operational capacity to monitor every American citizen through digital device they owned. That's why you cover your telephone also, you cover your camera up. And that is where your Facebook data was being routed. There exists a legal prohibition against the American government conducting surveillance on its own citizenry, but when citizens volunteer the information, are you listening, friends? When they volunteer it, when they offer it up eagerly, gratuitously, in exchange for the dopamine reward of a notification, all the state requires is a back door. That's why it was imperative for Thiel and Poindexter to establish these operations. It's also why Donald Trump and Joe Biden, rare display of unanimous bipartisan urgency, persuaded and pursued the curtailment of TikTok's presence in the United States. If your government possesses a backdoor access to Facebook and Google, a foreign adversary does not. The asymmetry favors you. Now, I'm going to go ahead and post this entire article for you guys to read, as you can read the whole thing. But remember, I had lunch with Benjamin Netanyahu about 30 years ago, and it was at one of our seminars we were doing. He was a speaker, and he had about 10 of us at lunch that day, and he was talking about how Israel had the back door to every computer software package that was available in the world. He told me that. He told me that from his voice to my ears, and this was back in the 90s. And always remember, they have the ability through the Rothschild banking cartel, which Israel's a fiefdom of that group, to basically come in now and create their one world government. Out of chaos will come a new world order, and that's what they're shooting for, is that one world cryptocurrency, Austin, so they can control every purchase that you make. They'll know everything that you buy, everything that you look at, everything that you think, every single thing. And it's gotten to the point now where they're planning on actually going in now after you die and looking at the post that you posted, if you've got a large following, to allow them to use AI to continue putting your posts out there, to be able to allow you to continue to influence the people that follow you, to allow them to continue to push the narrative that they want through you even after you're gone and you're in heaven. That's how bad this thing's messed up, Austin. So it's going to be a one-world government in which the Lucifer, who'll be in charge of all this stuff, will control the thoughts and the minds of everybody through the social media posts. And exactly like the Chinese credit score, they're going to be the ones that control everything. Because if you're not a good little boy or a good little girl, they're going to tell you that you can't buy a plane ticket, you can't buy a bus ticket, and you can't use your credit card or your cryptocurrency to buy fuel for your car, and you're going to be stuck, just like they did to the folks in China. So that's the goal here of all of this, and it's the same group. It's always the same group. It's the Sabbatean Kabbalists, Luciferian Synagogue of Satan, that is running this whole show, and now they're doing it with these cryptocurrency and social media. And that's why when David Icke wrote that book, The Trigger, he was talking about what was the final thing that did it. I had so many people, Austin, when they passed the Patriot Act, which was very close to the Enabling Act that was passed in 1933 after the Reichstag was burned. It was a 1,500-page document. They said they wrote it up overnight, right? 1,500 pages, yeah, whatever. They worked on that thing for years. And what that allowed to have happen is exactly what's happened now, to allow all of this mass surveillance on the American people and basically turning us into a prison planet, if you want to use that term. What do you think, Austin?
You're spot on with it. I've said this for years as far as what the social media platforms were built for. We talked about this in the teens. I did not know that Peter Thiel with Palantir was actually involved in it that early on, though. That was something I just learned with this article you were talking about here. And we discussed it in detail. you know, back in the teens on these social media platforms where, yes, they're great for marketing. Yes, they're good for research sometimes. They have their pros. However, a lot of people put entirely too much personal information on them. You know, we've talked even about before, just from the basic standpoint of security, you know, where there's been reports where somebody decides to go on vacation. They're posting all their vacation on their Facebook as they're in these places on real time. But then you look down a week later before their post and they talk about, oh, here's my 86-inch flat screen I just bought. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to put 1 + 1 if you're a thief and go, oh, they just bought a huge TV. Oh, they're on vacation over in the Grand Canyon now for a week while they're posting it. We should go rob their house. And again, that may seem something like basic, but at the end of the day, value your privacy. And I've always told people this, especially if you're a little bit higher in as far as on the side of security, if you need more basically, you know, monitoring as far as what you need for your private security, whatever you need, don't be posting stuff on social media in real time. I've said that for years, and this is something that everybody in the security world agrees with. For example, if you're at, you know, the Hilton in Daytona, just as an example, and you're out there, don't be posting stuff while you're out there on social media with open public pages for everybody to see that you're literally gone at a certain area at a certain time. A, it's a massive security breach because if anybody's actually looking for you, they don't even have to look far. Secondly, lets everybody know you're out of town and where you're at and how long you're going to be gone. And three, why in the world do you want to put that type of information out there for public settings for everybody to watch? So again, something to be aware of. But these platforms, that's how they have been for years. It's massive, massive data information, troves of information to monitor what everybody does. And so again, be very, very cautious on what you're posting. Be very cautious on what you're allowing to be posted about you. And by all means, maintain some continuity of security. And that's why I tell you guys with the cameras all the time, you keep them covered up. I mean, this stuff goes to a whole other level, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger only because of consent. Understand this. People are going along with things, and they're not boycotting them. They're not saying no. They're not stepping out of them. They're still just simply complying. And not just complying, they're actively consenting to it. And, you know, it's crazy to me sometimes. This is just, I'm going to keep this segment short because I got a bunch of health stuff to cover. It's crazy to me sometimes how you watch certain aspects of society from a psychological standpoint, how people will be so willing to go along and comply.
That's right.
And just submit to certain things. But then other things, they want to sit there and be like, oh, no, we don't need to do this. We need to, you know, everybody needs to get along, to go along. You know, for example, like you go back to COVID, you know, some people want to sit there. And I knew patriots that wanted to run their mouth about how hard they were and how armed they were and how strong they were and all this different stuff. And I got it. Sometimes people, you know, especially combat veterans and all that, they got a backing. But then at the same time, you saw those same people that allegedly were patriots and allegedly were doing this and allegedly doing that. And they're like, I can't believe you're not wearing a mask. You're not getting the shot. And I'm like, my gosh, are you compromised? I'm like, I wonder who's paying your bills. Just throw a question out there. Alt media showed a lot of people who were compromised, who were going along with the system, and who actually were pushing back. I never understood how you had some people that they'd suddenly show up out of nowhere in alt media. They'd have 2 million subscribers on YouTube in a matter of months, which is almost impossible.
Months. Days.
I mean, stupid stuff. I mean, the numbers go exponential on social media algorithm, and they're talking about a certain topic. Oh, this is full of that.
Remember,
this
also,
is here. They're talking about all these different things out of nowhere. And then you got other platforms that are talking about the truth or something maybe similar or offset on it. Then it's like, bam, shut down, ban, YouTube, ban, Facebook, ban, Instagram, ban. I'm like,
what? Remember what they did? This article really pointed this out. They had to put the apparatus in place of mind control with Facebook and all the rest of these things before they released the virus on us. Because it was through that social media that people were basically chastised and shamed.
That's exactly right.
Okay, that's how they. In fact, this back in February 4, 2004, they started this mess. That's the date because Robert Zuckerberg, seated at Harvard University dormitory, inaugurated a website he called Facebook. Facebook was conceived as nothing more than a campus novelty. Zuckerberg, by his own account, intended it to be a Harvard internal project and nothing that beyond. The popular mythology is dramatized in the film that was done, holds that Zuckerberg pivoted away from the Winklevoss vision and built something revolutionary in his own. This is not the story at all. The actual story begins with what happened immediately after launch. Facebook acquired tens of thousands of users almost immediately, and half of them were on the Harvard campus, and it faltered at other universities. Growth was anemic. The platform was going nowhere. Then Peter Thiel, as I just talked about, materialized. The co-founder of PayPal, architect of Planetary Technologies, and today one of the most influential political donors in conservative American politics, approached this unremarkable college student and extended him $500,000, Austin. Remember how they say, I always say, he got the nod, he got the money. All of a sudden, hey, here's $500,000. Thiel was not, in any conventional sense, an angel investor. He was an ideological recruiter who paid promising young people to abandon their educations and subordinate themselves to his enterprises. His network had birthed or catalyzed LinkedIn, Instagram, Spotify, and scores of other platforms. The question that demands an answer is elementary. Why would a man of Thiel's sophistication, strategic depth, and access to virtually any investment opportunity on the planet commit $500,000 to a struggling dormitory experiment? Because of Planetier, Thiel had founded Planetier Technology, a data analytics engine, a system designed to ingest enormous volumes of information, identify latent connections between data points, and synthesize conclusions that no individual analyst could have had unaided. The technology was formidable. It was deployed by the U.S. military in Afghanistan. Its analytical capacities were and remain extraordinary, but Planetier had a fundamental dependency. It required huge amounts of data. Therefore, we needed massive amounts of data coming in, and we needed AI data centers to feed Planetier. Are we getting it now? That's all about Planetier. It required data, oceanic, continuously replenished quantities of human behavioral data, location, social connections, assumption patterns. This is why we talked about it yesterday. The electric car phenomenon, that's all it was, push was completely abandoned. We don't have the power to feed Planetier and what's going on from a social media standpoint and to charge electric cars. No, this is crazy. LifeLog was supposed to be the feeding mechanism, a government-administrated pipeline that could deliver the informational lifeblood of every American citizen linked to the analytical apparatus. When the public killed LifeLog, the pipeline had to be rerouted. It was rerouted through social media. Listen, friends, through platforms that people would not merely tolerate but embrace, celebrate, defend, and integrate so deeply into their daily existence that the idea of living without them would feel like amputation. This is what they did, Austin. They set this entire apparatus up in advance 20 years before COVID because they had to have the apparatus in place to basically shame people about vaccines, shame people about masks, and shame people into compliance. And that's exactly what they've done with this unbelievable spy network that has run through Planetier, through Thiel.
You're spot on. That's exactly what they've done. People not only embraced it, not only submitted to it, not only voluntarily uploaded their information to it, they became addicted to it. They couldn't get away from it.
Horribly addicted.
It didn't matter how compromised your security was. It didn't matter how much you were putting out personal information that did not need to be on the internet. It didn't matter. People were addicted to it for the simple fact that they wanted to get a notification that somebody else was looking at it, and it made them feel like they were important. They
dopamine
based
trigger,
it
Austin.
Off the psychological aspect of human beings want to feel like they were connected to others. So at the same time, we removed ourselves from societal connections by making internet societal connections.
That's right.
That once again ruin relationships, ruin connections, ruin the ability to basically communicate with one another on a regular basis. And that's one of the sole purposes. Well, out of many purposes, I should say there's numerous ones. If you remember what they did during COVID. See, how do you collect massive troves of data on what people are doing, what people are talking about, so you can base algorithms how to control the narrative, how to project different narratives, how to control what everybody's talking about? You have to monitor what everybody's saying. You have to monitor communications, right? The only way you do that is you have to bring all communications to an online platform.
That's exactly right.
Old school day of being back and say whether it's a pub or a bar or a restaurant or a pool hall and people coming together and saying, hey, I don't like this King George. He's taking everything over. We don't have to put up with this. You know, you're right. Why do we do? We're Americans. We're here in the United States. Why is King George dictating what we do? They had the meetings. They had the bars. They had the pubs. They had the restaurants.
That's right.
And they came together to have private conversations. They've done this intentionally now to take that facet of private conversations and make sure they're impossible in some cases to ever form it now by putting everything on the internet. That's why during COVID, in my opinion, they said you couldn't go to restaurants, you couldn't go to bars, you couldn't go to any like any gatherings in person. Remember this? You could have more than six people together. Oh, you can go to Costco, you can go to Sam's, you can go to Walmart, but God forbid, six people show up at a birthday party.
That's
why
right.
Why was that from a psychological standpoint? To prevent people from coming together to collaborate and say, what the heck are we doing? Why are we buying this COVID nonsense? Why are we coming into this and submitting to this? The purpose of it is to keep things online, and then you can change the narrative. They run the algorithmic basis, and I've talked about this for years, on what they do with alt media, social media, news media. They watch everybody's comments, likes, views, forwards, posts, and the full algorithm AI will dictate and determine with almost 100% certainty, it's never 100%, like 99.9% certainty on what a topic is going to be, if it's going to be acceptable, if people are going to push back, and if they need to push the narrative further. Why do you think something will be going on with the news? And we'll find out, oh, Israel bombed another Catholic church with targeted air missiles, and it goes viral. Viral.
That's right.
There's like 50,000 comments in 1 hour, right? And all of a sudden everybody goes, what the heck are we doing? Oh, did you find out now Kim Kardashian got another plastic surgery again? And every single social media post will get blasted with this topic to the point you can't even find anything about Israel bombing civilian churches anymore. It's like impossible to find. They do that intentionally to control the narrative. And here's the topic that nobody, I'm going to cover this real quick, to tie into this. Nobody's covered this at all except for like two or three alt-media platforms here. Trump has now put together the Board of Peace and has pledged out the gate $50 billion for the reformation of Gaza. The Board of Peace is expected to deploy peacekeepers to ensure no violations of the ceasefire. The new Board of Peace, the United States will be putting $5 billion out the gate, just starting to reconstruct Gaza, Trump announced on Sunday.
Where's all this money coming from?
Yeah, the board, what do you think? Hey, guys, make sure, you know, by the way, you pay your taxes this month. Because, you know, IRS needs your money so they can give it to the Treasury so the Treasury can give it to Israel. You know, it's funny. Guess who's the lead board member of the Board of Peace? Just guess. Take a wild guess. Netanyahu, the war criminal. The very dude that's authorized airstrikes across the entire Palestinian area to kill hundreds of thousands of civilians is the one on the Board of Peace now that we're putting $5 billion in so they can reconstruct Gaza. And the crazy part about this is, here's Trump's quote. As Trump says, this is very important. Hamas must uphold its commitment to a full and immediate demilitarization if they want to have any type of peace. Now, I talked to a good friend of mine last night. Good friend of mine, retired military, actually he's not retired military contractor, still active. I don't put his information out there. He used to work with GRS, did multiple contract tours with GRS. GRS is the private security team the CIA uses. And I mean, this guy, he's, if you've ever trained with him, he's intense. He's great, great guy. But he, I mean, he's hard combat veteran. And I was talking to him last night, so I'm gonna go train with him here soon. And I asked him about some of this, and he said, Austin, the problem is, because he was over in Benghazi again last 2 months doing more contracts over there. And he said the problem that nobody wants to address with this, with Israel and Palestine and Hamas, he goes, anyone, and he goes, and I reiterate, anyone that resists IDF coming in, that resists breaches on your home, that resists your wife and children being arrested and possibly raped in front of you, that has a firearm, anybody that has a firearm in Palestine, anybody that doesn't comply immediately and basically put their face in the dirt when IDF soldiers show up, they are immediately, and he said immediately, claimed to be Hamas combatants. He goes, anyone. He goes, if IDF shows up and you don't immediately fall prostrate on the ground and put your hands behind your back and allow them to zip tie you and haul you off, you are deemed Hamas and you go to a detention facility immediately or they kill you.
And they probably kill you.
First-hand information from him. This isn't speculation. This guy knows everybody over there, done multiple world tours. And I said, are you serious? He's like, yeah. Views, if you get caught with a firearm, a handgun on you in Palestine, you're immediately deemed Hamas, and they detain you or they kill you. And he goes, so this whole concept of Hamas may be militarized, he goes, that means the entire Palestinian country has to be disarmed. That means everybody has to be compliant at all times while IDF-occupying forces comes in. There's videos, one of them he had sent me a while back ago, of IDF showing up to a school, elementary school. They round all the kids up. In the middle of school, people recording it. They're in the middle of school. They're doing school. Everybody gets kicked out. Dozens of kids go out. Teachers go out. And IDF proceeds to put charges and blow up the entire school. Blow it up. It's like the middle of the desert. They're in the middle of nowhere. Everything's rubble around them. And they said, we have confirmation that Hamas has a tunnel under the school and they're using it to traffic weapons. What? So we're just leveling an entire country because Hamas has been nothing more than a giant excuse, just like the Enabling Act was, to be used as a precipitating tool for the Patriot Act of 2021. Everybody's a possible terrorist. Take your shoes and your belt off, peasant, when you get on a plane. Oh, you know what? You look suspicious because, you know, we feel like it, and we're gay, and we're TSA. We're going to grope you now. Why? I didn't do anything. Random check. Pull your pants down and take you in the back room. Now, again, I'm being sarcastic with some of that, but am I? I mean, Dad's had his issues with TSA as well.
I remember I was in St. Louis. So this guy was he had to be gay, and he groped me, and I got really, really mad. And, in fact, Sharon was alive, and she looked at me, and she goes, I'm surprised you didn't hit this guy. And I said, well, I don't want to be on the TSA forever, don't fly list.
Oh, yeah, said, you will be, too.
But I filed charges with him, with a supervisor and with TSA, and they actually went and did a full investigation. And what I should have called, what I should have done was called the sheriff's department. It was that bad. And I never saw that pervert again. But, well, you know what they say, if it's TSA, it can't be gay. So, I mean, but it is gay. It's weird. It's perverted. And it's just messed up. It really is. That happens. I mean, I remember one time I triggered something, going through the checkpoint. And they took me in the back room. And I looked at the guys, and there were two, you could tell they were two contractors, had been contractors. And I said, look, guys, I said, you already searched me twice. Now you got me in the back room. I said, am I going naked? And they said, what do you mean? I said, I looked at them twice. I said, am I going naked? I got a plane to catch. I said, if we're going to go naked here, let's get it over with and be done with it. Because obviously you're going to do whatever you think you need to do. He said, no, we're not going to go naked because these guys weren't gay. They said, no, this happened to me, Austin. They were two big old
contractors. These guys weren't gay.
No, they weren't. They wouldn't be naked. I mean, you search somebody two or three times, you know they're not carrying anything. Why do you got to,
exactly. We're doing our fourth cavity search. You're like, really, guys?
Oh, yeah. But what was crazy, and finally they told me to get on the plane to leave. But here's an email from Jeffrey Epstein, right? Here we go. And it's to Peter Thiel. Now listen to this. It says, dear Peter, as you probably know, I represent the Rothschilds. I was hoping to figure out a way for the bank that has the management could do something in tech. Best client list in the world. Prehistoric products. It can't wait. You'll be in Europe again in 2028. In an island, coming around, see if we're going west. Okay, Epstein's writing Peter Thiel and telling him that he's representing the Rothschild banking cartel. So you ask yourself a question. You know, why in the world did this have to happen this way? And there's another article. It's about the Epstein files and the Rothschild banking cartel. All 11 billionaires mentioned Epstein's files and their relationships, the connection between Peter Thiel and Epstein and the Rothschilds. You guys just Google it. Peter Thiel, Rothschilds connections on Google, and you'll find it. They say they weren't close to Epstein, New York Times, but they are close to Epstein. New analysis, Jeffrey Epstein connected to Donald Trump's 2016. Epstein's Silicon Valley connections went beyond Gates and Musk. Inside the extended courtship linking Jeffrey Epstein and Peter Thiel and the Rothschild banking cartel and Planeteer. All of this stuff is still available online. They haven't scrubbed it yet. Now, once AI gets fully up online and fully operational, they'll do exactly what Austin said. You won't be able to find any of this stuff. But you guys can Google Peter Thiel, Rothschild connections, and read through all of it. We don't make this stuff up on the Ted and Austin Brower Show. We just happen to report on a lot of stuff that nobody else wants to touch. And that's why we do what we do, Austin. That's enough of this stuff. Let's go to you got another health story for us?
I do have one more health story, but I'm going to cover this really quick because I've had three or four people ask me to bring this up because it involves children. And I'm going to make this really quick because I got a lot of health articles to cover. But this is something that I've had like four people send me articles on. And so far, some people are saying it's unsubstantiated, but however, there is tying stuff into it with the Epstein emails now that has come out. Multiple schools across the country now, multiple schools are essentially canceling school day. Not school day, photo shoot day, basically class day, and getting private, basically private local areas, photographers come in and shoot class photos, okay? So school districts in Texas and area are facing scrutiny over their parent use of LifeTouch. LifeTouch, a student photography service, linked to Jeffrey Epstein now in these emails. So as districts nationwide are severing ties with the company, listen to this, LifeTouch is used by districts across the entire country for photo-focused events such as Picture Day. It's now been connected to the billionaire child sex offender through Apollo Global Management, an investment firm in the United States, and its former CEO, Leon Black, who was a former financial advisor to Epstein. School districts across the U.S. have dropped LifeTouch from its list of services and was connected to Epstein. In the Houston area, multiple schools are now basically dropping it as well. LifeTouch was directly tied into this guy that Epstein was using to manage his finances, and this is the rumor. Rumor allegedly from the emails, and again, it doesn't sound far-fetched, it sounds pretty accurate, that LifeTouch was getting these photos, they were using them through the CEO that was connected to Epstein, and the files, from what the emails are saying, the files of the photos of kids were being used as a menu item for a lot of individuals across the entire world that were big billionaire boys, because essentially, you now have the name of the child, the age of the child, the school district where the child's at, which means you have within a X mile radius of where this child lives, their age, their photo, and all their documentation in one single data trove from LifeTouch.
Don't you, Austin? You remember the Sound of Freedom?
Yes.
They had a catalog. They were picking kids.
I know. That's where this is tying into now, that LifeTouch was directly involved in ties to Epstein, and that this stuff now is coming out. And, you know, At first, you hear that and you go, no way. There's no way LifeTouch, that was contracted by the vast majority of public schools across the country, was using photographs from childhood school days to be used for pedophiles to order certain this. And your mind can't wrap around it. And then you go, but they were, in my opinion. And everybody else I know in law enforcement, I've asked multiple people in law enforcement sector about this topic. And every single one of them has confirmed, yes, this is highly likely possible. If not, other substrates off of this have been spun off with other sub-companies. And I said, it's too weird. It's too weird that LifeTouch would be connected to this and that you weren't using private local photographers. You had a company that was being used vastly across the public school system with a government contract to gather photos, data, documentation, and information on these kids with an X amount of mile radius of their school district of where they live. Because remember, you're set in a certain school district where your address is with an X mile radius because of school buses and public schools. So,
oh, gosh.
I don't want to get any further than this. It's going to make me really mad.
I'm going to go a couple sentences into it. This group of people, these pedophiles, this is not just about, this is a religion of them. It's a satanic, it's Satanism is what this is. And we've talked about it in depth. And they're unbelievable perverts. And they find something they want. And I remember I was listening to a guy one time. He was talking about how the late Senator Kennedy came in and, you know, walked into basically a room in which this guy's daughter was, and he started talking about how he wanted this girl. The guy was my daughter. He goes, well, I don't care. They see something they want, and because they have so much power, they basically take what they want. And you know, and nobody stops them because everybody's on that blackmail list.
Everybody just goes on and on and on.
No, it's sickening. And when you stop and you look at it, you go, why are they doing this? Because they want to have a certain type of person that they're going to do things to. They want to have a certain type of person that they're going to sacrifice. I don't want to go any deeper. This just gets perverted. It's Satanism.
Well, no, declare this before we switch gears on it, and that's why I'd go to a different phase. You got to understand, when your life is based on no limit of depravity, there's no ethics and morals. There's no ethos. You have no basis of morality anywhere in your body. Your entire basis is how far demented can we go? You got to look at it as far as like they look at it like we do, looking at a car catalog. Oh, what's the color? What's the make? What's the model? What's the spec? What's the options? I'm just being honest with you. That's how sadistic these individuals
are. They were using, and this is one of the reasons I tell people. I'm real funny about this. I don't support and would not support Victoria's Secret ever again. You know, your mom used to like to go there and buy stuff, and I used to always tell her, I don't like you even going here.
Not anymore, man. Now we find out about Les Wexner.
No, Les Wexner gave a 50,000 square foot penthouse for $70 million to
Epstein.
And remember, they were using Victoria's Secret to recruit for the
exactly
island.
Right.
So this is some sick crap, and they were basically just a bunch of perverts, and they were also using Mar-a-Lago. And Donald Trump's first wife was also working with Giselle Feingold in order to recruit people. I mean, nobody wants to talk about this stuff. And the sick part about it is that it's that deep. It has permeated our culture to that level. And that's why when you unwrap this stuff and you start looking at it, it gets so depraved so fast. You're like, I don't want to see it. Because from a normalcy bias standpoint, none of us want to talk about this stuff because it's too far into the deep end. But remember, Satanism has no boundaries like that. They don't care. They're a
That's
bunch of
exactly
perverts
right.
is what they are. And they go as deep as they want to go, and there is no bottom line to them. They can do whatever they want because they control the money supply.
This is why it is so important, because people go, what do we do about it? I'm not going to sit here and bitch and moan on the thing. Excuse my language on this. I'm irritated as crap right now with this because I know about this company. The more research I've dug into it, I found out that Life Touch was also used at schools in Central Florida from what I've researched overnight on here. Everything your child is involved in, you need to be privy to, especially when
you're
young.
That's right. Everything.
Period. There's no, I want to have my privacy. I want to go to my undisclosed friend's house to go have a sleepover at 9 years old.
No.
You need to know the parents. You need to know what they're going to be doing. Once they're adults and they want to make their own adult decisions and they're 17, 18, 19 years old, that's on them. At that point, you've raised them the best you can. But always remember this. I'm going to say this real clearly. All it takes is one singular bad event to change the entire direction of that child's life because you were being negligent.
Forever.
And I'm not saying all parents are negligent when stuff like this could happen to the kids. I'm not saying that. But in most cases, there's no excuse nowadays with what we know, with what happens, with what we have documented now with law enforcement, that there's any excuse that you knowingly allow these things to happen. Be cautious when you're out in public with kids, especially if you have multiple kids. I have three kids. I can tell you right now, when I take all three of them out, I'm extremely active. I'm not sitting around with my head shoved up my phone. I'm not sitting around going, oh, man, it's such a pretty day. I'm going to walk away and let my kids go play off on their own. I'm very active. I'm always scanning. I'm always alert. I'm very intuitive. I have very good intuition of what's going on. And there have been numerous occasions when I've been out in public somewhere, I will corral them all together and say, hey, listen, get in the truck now. I don't like the area. I don't like the people. I don't like what's around me. I don't care if you think I'm paranoid as your father. We're going to have fun no matter what. But at a certain point in time, we're going to make sure everything stays secure at all times on there. And you've got to make sure you're doing that. And be so cautious if your kids get internet or social media on their phone. There's
numerous phone companies now. You can't be careful enough.
No. There's been so many instances now that I have had direct confirmation from law enforcement where young boys and young girls get involved on social media at 12, 13, 14 years old, and they start talking to people that they think are their friends, or they think there's this cool kid or this cool girl, and they want to have a social meetup. And these kids, I mean, they've documented now all the way back to when these first pedophiles start contacting them, and these kids want to go, oh, I'm staying at so-and-so's house, and they lie. They go to so-and-so's place. They go to so-and-so's park to go meet up with this friend of theirs online. And sure enough, it's some sicko pedo that needs to be stuck in a wood chipper. And they find out later on how all this stuff happened. It's very, very common, much more common than you think. I covered the story that happened last year in Tampa off Interstate 275 at a massive hotel bust on the side of the interstate that I have passed hundreds of times in my life and never thought anything about it. And they saved over 60 kids in this hotel that were involved in child sex trafficking right here down the street from me in Tampa. And they busted them. They had a huge operation sting on it with the sheriff's department over there. And they said, just right in front of everybody's nose, millions of people cross in front of this hotel every single month in Florida, and nobody's thought one thing about it. And it's right there in front of you. So be vigilant, be cautious. If you got kids, protect them by all means.
Well, you know, it's kind of like skiing in a boat. Okay. Now you go, what the heck are you doing now? I got to come off of this for a second. It's too dark. Okay. I used to have a Mastercraft, right? And I would take kids skiing and everything else. And I'm Mr. Anal. Okay. I'm the one that's sitting there with a 12 gauge shotgun attached to the, right by the thing for alligators, by the way, with, with slugs in it.
Always.
I'm the one basically. No, always. And I'm the one sitting there with all of these rules that are pending, and I tell them all the rules before they get into the boat, and they're always saying, well, why are you being so anal about this? And I said, because people get run over by ski boats all the time. And
all the time.
Amputees. And they get killed. They get chopped up in little pieces. Especially
when
you have
body parts forever.
No. And so it's like a ski boat. I would give them rules, and I'd say, okay, you put your skis on the ski platform. I said, if you ever get your skis on, the motor of the boat gets turned off. You're getting into the boat. The motor of the boat gets turned off. And I had all these rules, and by the grace of God, nobody ever got hurt. And
never.
I remember one time
Never. We had never one injury and never one fatality in all the years of thousands of times being on the boat.
We got really close.
I will give you credit for
time.
That.
We had one close time one time. This guy, I'm not going to mention his name. Let's just call him Bozo. We'll call Bozo. We won't use his real name. I had the boat parked next to the dock, and Bozo decides to run all the way down the end of the dock and dive headfirst over the entire beam of the boat, over the whole side of the boat, and dive into the water. You remember when it happened?
I remember
and Bozo. But Bozo, by the grace of God, wasn't killed. He didn't kill himself doing that. But Bozo was never invited to another ski party.
Missed the boat by inches, by the way, on the other side, diving over. Missed the
boat. This boat had like an 8-foot beam on it. He's like an idiot.
A big swell that came back offshore and kicked back, he would have been head first in the side of the boat.
No, but again, he was never invited to another ski party. But you've got to be so careful when you have kids with you. I know when I take office kids out, I am heavily armed. I'm always heavily armed. I'm all about guns. And I got multiple magazines on me. And I'm telling the kids, you got to stay to the left-hand side of me. You got to stay off the road. You got to play out in the grass. We have a place that's called Lake Hollingsworth, and we walk around at Lakeland. I've done it multiple times with the kids. And I've never taken Stetson out because he was too young. He's a 2-year-old. But I take the other ones out. They're 9 and 7. And I'm always like, never get in front of me. You stay beside me in the grass. You don't get near the road. And I've got all these rules. And your kids are great because you've done the same thing to them. And so they listen. So it's just so important that you cannot be cautious enough. Now, one more thing I'm going to say to you guys, and this is so important. You've got to monitor what they watch on the Internet. And don't let them sneak behind you and get your passwords off your iPads and your computers, because they will do that, by the way. I've got a friend of mine that I know who basically was so careful with his iPhone and iPads and everything else, and the kids got behind him, and the one 10-year-old got started on child porn and crap like that at the age of 10 because of it, because they got the doggone passwords. Don't allow that to happen, because it changes and rewires the brain of that 10, 12-year-old kid, and it starts messing them up really, really bad. It does. So don't allow that to happen. If I would do exactly what Austin's doing right now. If they got a phone, it would be a phone that could not get hooked up to the Internet, period. Because that's where the predators live. They're the ones who contact them via the Internet, via social media, and basically groom these children to do things they shouldn't ought to do, or to meet them in certain places where they shouldn't ought to go. It happens all the time. If I had to do it over again, I would not give a child that would connect to the Internet a phone until where they at least the age of 16 to 17. Now, they're going to raise hell. Excuse my language. They are. They're going to be mad if you don't let them have a phone that'll hook up to the Internet by the time they're 16 or 17. It's not worth the risk. I'm letting you guys know that after having raised 4 kids. It's not worth it. But let's change topics, Austin. Let's get off this dark stuff. Let's talk about the top 12 reasons when people go on a weight loss program that they don't lose weight like they need to. This is a great, great article. Good. Number one, you eat too little. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You've got to take your ideal weight, multiply it by 10. So if you want to weigh 180 pounds and you're a dude, you need to take in 1,800 calories a day. So that means you need to eat 6 300-calorie meals per day. If you're a woman and you want to weigh 120 pounds, you have to eat 6 200-calorie meals per day. But a lot of people, when they start eating too little, they lower their own basal metabolic rate. And when they do that, they start losing muscle weight. When you start losing muscle weight, you start lowering the amount of calories that you can eat. Give you an example. Each pound of muscle burns about 50 calories a day. If you burn and lose 10 pounds of muscle, you're going to have to drop your own caloric intake by 500 calories a day not to gain weight back. That becomes a nightmare. That's why you've got to exercise and eat a lot of protein when you're working out to lose weight. Very, very important. You got to get enough fiber. You got to make sure your body stays cleaned out. Eat a lot of vegetables every day. You can graze on free foods. You got to be careful about all that. You don't realize when people give you stuff to eat, when you graze on free food, people are just giving you stuff. You can forget about the biscuits you ate. You can forget about what you're doing with your partner's plate, or you splash olive oil over. Your calories can add up really, really quickly. Be very careful. Also, be careful. Don't be going to coffee shops and drinking their mocha lattes with 1,800 calories per drink. Don't be doing that. Don't
Facts.
Be going to Starbucks at all anyhow. No, don't do it. No, I have a friend of mine. His wife kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm not picking on her because guys can get bigger and bigger too. And she was drinking these 1,800 calorie mocha, these giant coffee things every day. And just, you know, all that cream and all that junk. But now also, don't just do cardio. Just do, you have to do weights also. And, you know, and don't be doing weekday dieting and weekend binging. Don't do that. Every once in a while, if you want to have a cheat day, eat something for one meal and cheat. Then with the next meal, get back on your right diet. And remember, this is not a diet. This is a lifestyle choice that you're doing. Eating at the wrong times. This is important. Don't eat all of your calories at 12 o'clock at night before you go to bed. Number one, you're probably going to end up with acid reflux, and you're not going to sleep very well. And your body doesn't need that many calories when you go to bed. It wants to go to sleep. It don't want to digest food all night. Don't eat large portions. What I do at my house is I have smaller plates. And when I have my breakfast in the morning, I eat my eggs. I put them on a small plate, you know, my three eggs, and it fills the plate up. And I'm thinking to myself, I've got a whole big portion here. It's not. It's three eggs. Not get enough sleep. Be important. We talked about this yesterday in Sleep Like a Baby program. And also probiotics. This week I've been, actually this month, I'm actually on the 350 billion probiotics. I take one of those every single day now, feeding my gut, because I want to have some support to keep that doggone gut flora alive and doing well. And also, one of the biggest diet mistakes is believing that willpower is enough. It's not. In fact, 90% of our eating is driven by subconscious. That's why we don't really know what we're doing. Willpower is like a battery. It runs out. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be having your willpower. You want to change your habits. That's probably the most important one I gave you there. You can't go on a diet the rest of your life. You won't have the willpower to do that. But you can change your lifestyle and eat the right foods the rest of your life and stay super healthy, Austin. But if you're thinking to myself, well, this is my willpower. I'm going to eat this way like this for 30 days, and I go back to my old way of eating. You're not going to stick with it. You and I, what do we do? Chicken and rice, vegetables and rice. I mean, eggs every morning. I mean, it's a very bland, boring diet. But I tell you what, I am not living to eat. I'm eating to live. And that's what everybody needs to realize. And then take your supplements, for heaven's sakes. Take your iodine. Take your vitamin C. Take your B complex. It'll make you feel a whole lot better.
No, you're spot on. That's the thing. The only way it works long term is you have to have a lifestyle approach with it. Because, you know, it's like a fast. You could only do a fast for so long. You do a 3-day fast or 7-day detox, or sometimes do a 30-day, different facets of it. But you can't do it forever. So when you go on these super, super restrictive, heavily modified diets, there has to be an end basis on it. Now, if somebody's doing it as a detox, that's one thing. You know, I know people, and I've done it personally, you know, 3 or 4-day GHI detox. So I'll do GHI cleanse 2 to 3 times a day. Yeah, one of my best friends, Dexter, he's basically asked me the other day, he's like, you know, I think I'm going to do a fast. I said, well, and he was asking me how to try to maintain, he's training real heavy right now. He's like, how do I maintain size on a fast? And I said, well, you're going to lose a little bit of weight. But I said, if you don't want to go extremely catabolic, but you still want to detox your body, I said, do GHI cleanse. I said, do 2 scoops. I said, your body weight, I said, you need to do like 3 to 4 shakes a day, two
there
scoops
you go.
Each.
That's right.
And I said, you'll still lose a little bit of weight. I said, but you're not going to hemorrhage much muscle tissue in a week at all. I said, because you're pretty anabolic right now. You're training really heavy. I said, and you're still going to get decent amount of protein, but you're going to get all that detoxifying property. You're also, I said, here's the thing. You're going to let your gut rest. I said, after 3 days of that, the intestinal tract will actually start to heal itself. It'll start to recoup, and the body will detox. I said, it's not going to be as effective as a full fast, but I think it's actually better, in my opinion. Just my opinion. People have different fasts for different reasons. But when you do the GHI cleanse, you're not going to go super catabolic. You're going to allow your body to detoxify. You put an enormous amount of rest on the liver because you're not putting any toxins in your body. You're just putting detoxifying compounds. You're putting anti-inflammatory compounds. Remember the show I did yesterday, covered it in detail. Inflammation is the key root of almost every major disease. If the gut's messed up and the colon's all inflamed and the liver's all swollen and inflamed, you can't get major health healing. You can't get major fat burning because the body is so inflamed, it doesn't care about burning body fat. It's just trying to survive. It's I'm burning body fat. We're just trying to stay alive over here, bud. Give us some raw nutrients. Give us some beet juice. Give us some GHI. You know, here's an article here that I'm tying to. It says some food preservatives link to type 2 diabetes and cancer. No duh. It says, think twice before you're eating a lot of processed foods. It says, those who eat more food with preservatives, the chemical plant-based ingredients to keep processed food from going rancid, are 40 to 49% higher of developing type 2 diabetes, according to a new study. The diabetes finding in a separate cancer study conducted by researchers added a growing body of evidence that the more preservative-rich foods you eat, the more your body is prone to unfavorable metabolic and inflammatory states that lead to chronic diseases. And it says more than half the calories, look at this, more than half the calories of the average American diet comes from ultra-processed foods. The food industry's widespread use of preservatives and other chemicals, often with no testing of long-term chronic diseases, motivated the studies. This is why I tell you so many times, you've got to look at the foods you're eating. Have higher antioxidant foods. Just this product alone, with the acai and the antioxidant blend in it, is a great addition to your supplement plan with the purple sticks. On top of that, the GHI cleanse to reduce toxicity in the body. The other thing is changing in and making sure you're adding like the multiple powder, other high-end multivitamins that we have. We have so many different programs, platforms, and protocols. You can check us out on our website at Health Masters. You can call us up. You can do. I mean, we have so much information on the website, and it's all free, guys. I give it to you because I want people to stay healthier. A stronger, healthier, smarter population is a much more stubborn population. Be real on that. And right now, I feel like America needs to get a little bit more stubborn. I feel like the compliance factor of what's going on and how susceptible people are and just complying to the most obscene things now in the United States and don't even give a second thought to it. I mean, we've talked about in detail what's been going on with these Epstein emails. I try not to go every single day, all day, because I just get unbelievably angry on this show. And then I can't bring up a lot of other topics because it just gets me flustered. But you see what's going on. And most people just, okay, I get it. You can't sit around all day and lament about things you can't physically stop. I can't stop the United States from bombing Iran on Israel's behalf. I can't do it. Is it going to happen again? Probably. But I can't sit around and get mad about it all day because I can't talk. I can't touch it. It's not a topic that I can possibly hand. However, I can do, I can change my own diet. I can change my own health. I can take care of my kids' health. And I can also talk to others in the community about maintaining their health and wellness and also, too, their education on the topics of that specific group thing and being able to bring it to others. Because at the end of the day, all we can do is help one another, control our own attitude, control our own bodies, control our own minds, and continue to spread the truth to others. And that's what we try to do on this show here, is bring you guys the updated news and truth. And so right here, you have it. More direct links. The higher amount of preservatives you eat in food, the greater your chances are type 2 diabetes and cancer. And pretty much they're not saying even the greater risk. They're pretty much saying it's guaranteed. At an X amount of percentage of these preservatives in your food every single day of your diet, you are pretty much going to either go diabetic or at some point in time you're going to have cancer. That's what they're showing here and there. At a long enough time scale, it's inevitable. It's inevitable. If you eat at a high enough percentage on a long enough time scale, it will happen. Not speaking negative, not speaking death. I'm speaking facts and research on what they're showing here. So take that with what you want.
And you know what, you guys, thank you so much for giving us some leeway. When we cover this stuff, it's not because we want to cover it.
That's a fact.
We don't want to cover this stuff. I'd rather sit here and talk to you guys about health and how to lower blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, and blood sugar levels. But you guys realize that, you know, we're here to tell you the truth about a lot of different topics, including your relationship with Christ and being a Christian and serving the Most High God. And when you understand that this whole thing is about Satanism with Epstein and the Rothschild boys and all these other people that are with him, you start to realize that that movie Eyes Wide Shut, you know, it wasn't a parody, it was real. And you start to, and I'm not recommending that movie because it's really, really disgusting. But the reality is that the highest people in this world are basically serving the dark side. They really are. And that we need to make sure that we understand that Jesus Christ built the heavens and the earth, and it's through him all things are possible. And that's why if you can understand the stuff of Epstein and you still don't understand what Christianity is, then you don't understand that the angels are here to protect us, then you're not paying attention to what's going on with the bigger plot. This thing is for real. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. I continue to pray for you guys on a regular basis, and thank you so much for praying for us, and thank you for supporting this show. Because if you notice, I'm not backing off Jesus. We talk about Jesus. How many other podcasts do you listen to that talk about Jesus, the author, the finisher, the creator of our entire universe? We have to understand that we will never back off of that, because most people will not talk about Christ. They'll talk about God. whose God are they talking about? What God are they talking about? Who do they serve? Let's talk about serving Jesus all of our life, guys.
You're spot on. That's why in Stanley Kubrick's film, Eyes Wide Shut, you just brought up Stanley Kubrick trying to warn everybody. That's why at the end of that film, the couple, Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise, they basically allow their child to go off with those two old guys. That if you watch that film, Stanley Kubrick tried to warn everybody, and he died before that film got released. So, guys, stay positive, stay strong. Make sure you're watching on what you put in your body and your mind. Product of the week, the D3. Y'all said it. Y'all wanted it. Won by a landslide. I'll be changing that later on this afternoon, evening, to put it on sale. It'll be complex. It'll be up for the rest of the day, and then it'll be updated. So, again, stay strong, stay healthy. Y'all need anything, healthmasters.com. We're here to keep you guys as strong and as healthy and as educated as possible on these topics. So thank you for your support. Have a blessed, safe, awesome evening, and we'll talk to you again on this show tomorrow, as always, my friend. God bless you.